Hey guys, welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. I am the maker of the Filmmakers Podcast, Andrew Gardner. In this podcast, we cover famous directors for people looking to get into movies, so we hope you stick around and enjoy the podcast on the Filmmakers Podcast. And also, follow us on Instagram at podcast_makers for more movie content.
Welcome back to the Filmmakers Podcast. I have a question for you guys. Are you interested in coming-to-age tales with quirky scripts and a fun time? Then you would be interested in Greta Gerwig's scripts. Greta Gerwig is a playwright, an actress, and a director that has hit mainstream success with her films Lady Bird, made in 2017, and Little Women, made in 2019. Audiences can look forward to her fun script writing, beautiful cinematography, and her use of fun, young actors that add a sense of usefulness to the movie. Greta Gerwig has a small sample size of films, as she has only wrote and directed three in her life, but the amount of detail put into the films is amazing. And that is the reason she is on the rise as a filmmaker. With two of her films reaching widespread acclaim, Greta has been nominated for three Oscars in three different categories. Greta is only the fifth woman director to be nominated for the Best Achievement in Directing at the Oscars, and is part of the illustrious group that also includes Kathryn Bigelow, which we'll be covering next episode. Greta has also been nominated for Best Original Screenplay and Best Adapted Screenplay. Greta has earned every bit of her praise and is a great reason to cover her on the Filmmakers Podcast. Before we jump into the plots and themes of Greta's films, Lady Bird and Little Women, let's jump into some background history of Gerwig. One might think that the plot of Lady Bird, a film based in 2002, the same year Greta Gerwig graduated as a senior in high school, would be a true story of Gerwig's life, but this is not the case. Yes, there are similarities. Like both Greta and Lady Bird, the main protagonists in the film Lady Bird being seniors at St. Francis High School, an all-girls Catholic high school in Sacramento, but Greta stresses that she only gave Lady Bird these similarities because she wrote that what she knew, and nothing within the film happened to her in real life. Greta Celeste Gerwig was born August 4th, 1983 in Sacramento, California. Greta describes herself as an intense child and had hobbies like dance and fencing before having to quit due to the price of the hobbies. Greta first attended college in New York to attain a musical theater degree, but later changed to English and philosophy. Greta would take up acting after roles in a variety of roles at Columbia University. Greta would earn roles in famous movies like Isle of Dogs, Jackie, No Strings Attached, and the romantic role in Arthur. Although earning praise in her films, Jackie and 20th Century Men, where she was nominated for Best Supporting Actress at the Golden Globes, Greta wanted to return to screenwriting and taking on her own films. Greta would write and direct her first film, Nights and Weekends, in 2008 during her acting career. Nights and Weekends is a romantic film about two lovers caught up in different cities trying to contain their love for each other. The film would have to hold off audiences for 9 years before Lady Bird came out. Lady Bird is a fun coming-to-age film following Christine Lady Bird McPherson, a 17-year-old senior who was born on the wrong side of the tracks in Sacramento, California. Lady Bird follows Lady Bird in her senior year of high school. Lady Bird is played by Irish actor Charisse Ronan in a fantastic role for her. Charisse uses a fantastic American accent and never slips once betraying the American teen. Lady Bird is a difficult teenager who can flip from rage to nice on the dime. This is seen when Lady Bird is around her mother Marion, played by Laurie Metcalf. Lady Bird 1 minute is screaming at her mother for being mean, but then will flip nice when she and her mother find a nice dress. Some themes within this movie is the theme of being insecure of the person you are. In the start of the film, Lady Bird is not ashamed of whom she is and is quirky and likes it. She runs for office with a poster of humans with bird heads. She also enjoys eating communion crackers with her best friend Julie, played by Beanie Feldstein. Lady Bird even signs up for the fall musical under the guise of talking to the cute boy Danny, played by Lucas Hedges. Julie and Lady Bird continue their fall work on the play as Julie becomes closer to Danny. Danny and Lady Bird begin to date after a night of smoking weed and going to a concert at a coffee shop. This is where we get the first sense of that Lady Bird wanting to be like all the other girls, when she sees a cute guitarist of the band Danny, played by Timothée Chalamet. After the premiere of the fall musical, Lady Bird finds Danny kissing another boy in the bathroom, all but finishing their relationship. This is where Lady Bird leaves her old life behind. Lady Bird becomes friends with Jenna, a piper girl, and she begins to act out not only in school but towards her parents. Lady Bird begins to date Kyle and even loses her virginity to him. She only realizes the make she's made when she loses Jenna, and Kyle is mean to her after sex. Lady Bird takes back her old spirit when she and Jenna go to prom without dates after Kyle dumps her. Lady Bird finished off her senior year on the right foot, being who she was in the beginning. The next scene to cover is the one of poverty and class in the town of Sacramento. Lady Bird lives in a small house that her parents have owned for 25 years. Lady Bird's father loses her job at the wrong time as she wants to leave Sacramento area and go to college in New York. Lady Bird knows her family is not well off as she often shops for clothes at discount stores and her mother works two jobs at a hospital. Lady Bird is ashamed not only to be richer to her peers, but be better off in life. Lady Bird lies to Jenna about her house size and loses her as a bed when Jenna finds out where Lady Bird really lives. Lady Bird often speaks on living on the wrong side of the tracks, meaning she is in the poor neighborhoods. Lady Bird takes her parents for granted as they work multiple shifts to pay for a private school after her brother Miguel saw someone get shanked outside the public school. The final theme I want to touch upon is the theme of hating where you're from. Lady Bird often speaks how much she hates Sacramento and wants to get out. It is only when she leaves New York to go to college that she begins to love Sacramento. Gerwig cements this with his long shots of the city of Sacramento and its natural beauty. The shots show how rosy red skies of nightfall and the beautiful trees in the neighborhood around Sacramento. Lady Bird writes a college essay about her time in Sacramento and how she thinks she hates it, but a nun at her school tells her that the essay is really about how much she loves Sacramento. While in New York, Lady Bird has a horrible first week after being rushed to the hospital with alcohol poisoning and calls home longingly for the fun times with Jenna, the relationship with her father, and the fight she has with her mother. The last film I would like to cover is Greta Gerwig's adaptation of Louise May Alcott's book Little Women. Little Women follows the Marx sisters as they make their way through post-Civil War America on their own terms. The films are shot as when the sisters are younger and then when they are in current time. The sisters are Jo, Meg, Amy, and Beth. They live in a large house with their mother, Marmee. One shot in the past, the sisters' father is in the war during the Civil War. The sisters all have different moods and dreams. Jo, played by Charisse Ronan, is the writer that wants to make it big. Meg, played by Emma Watson, wants nothing more to be a mother and a wife. Amy, played by Florence Pugh, is interested in painting and, when older, travels to France with her Aunt March to wed a rich man and become a famous painter. And last, little sister Beth, played by Eliza Scanlon, is the shyest daughter and has a love for music. When we see the girls older, Jo is writing small stories to a publisher and a teacher on the side to help her family. Meg is a married housewife, and Amy is in France with her Aunt March, played by Meryl Streep, where she is set to marry a rich man. Beth remains at home, sick, as she is on her last leg. We see in the past that the sisters become friends with their rich neighbor, Laurie, played by Timothy Chalamet, and his grandfather, Mr. Lawrence, played by Chris Cooper. The girls let Laurie join into their girls' acting club. Laurie begins a relationship with Jo that he is more invested in than her. Meg ends up marrying John Brooks, Laurie's tutor. When they are grown, Jo returns from New York after Beth grows sick. While in France, Amy cuts off relationship with her rich tutor to become engaged to Laurie after Jo turns down his marriage proposal earlier. Jo ends up turning her sister's life into a book she sells to a publisher for 6.6% of the profit. Jo also inherits his Aunt March's house and turns it into a free school. Jo also begins to date a man she knew at the boarding house she stayed in New York called Frederick. These fantastic stories have many themes that are often seen in Gerwig's films. The theme of poverty shows its head in Little Women again. While March families are in the higher class, they still feel poorer than that. They still feel for a poor family that lives not far from them. Well, Laurie and his grandfather live in a mansion right next to him. They also live next door to the March's house and only a short distance from the family that share one bed. Laurie and his grandfather live in a mansion right next to the March's house and not a short distance from the poor family the March's feel for. The class differential can also be seen in how the family is off before the war. When it comes to Aunt March, she had been left with a large amount of money and a mansion. She always tells the girls to marry rich, as she did. This is why Jo turns her house into a free school to spite her. When it comes to Amy, she has always known she will marry rich, but changes from the man she would never love to Laurie, who is still rich, but she loved him since she was young. Mr. Lawrence, unlike Aunt March, is not a mean old person and cares for the March sisters. He cares for Beth the most because she reminds him of his late daughter. This is why when Beth dies of her sickness, Mr. Lawrence takes it the hardest. The film shows class warfare, and just because you're rich doesn't mean you need to be cruel. The theme of love shows its head as the sisters marry for who they love and not for money. Jo stays single the longest, turning down Laurie's marriage proposal to remain a strong, independent woman. But she learns love comes from the most random people, as Frederick, who was mean to her at the boarding school at the beginning of the film, and then she ends up falling in love for her. And she only realized that he was mean because he cares for her. Amy marries Laurie after she loved him from a young age and watched Jo love him first. She might still have married rich, but it was to the right man. And Meg marries poor John and misses out on the riches she must enjoy because she doesn't care about being rich but with the right family. Love is surrounding everyone, even the mother Marmy, as her husband returns after the war. The sisters might be doing things on their own terms, but that is why they always love. Finally, I would like to talk about the fantastic design of the movie. The movie really puts in the late, really makes you feel like you're in the late 1860s. From the beautiful dresses to the well-built set houses, the movie is a huge step up for Greta Gerwig's production-wise, but she nails it. All right, guys, I have a new trivia challenge for you guys to answer on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_makers. Name three actors that both appeared in Lady Bird and Little Women. Comment below on the social media post. All right, guys, that's all for me today. Come back next week as we cover the explosive Kathryn Bigelow. So check this out and more on the Filmmakers Podcast.
All right, guys, that was our podcast. If you enjoyed it, remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at podcast_makers. And watch out for next week's podcast. It's bound to be loads of fun as we look at another filmmaker. All right, guys, see you later.